Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. You can watch Stillman and Company every Monday through Friday from 2 to 6. We're also streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, joins us now. Chad, we've got a big Vols game in the swamp this weekend, and I think the biggest question surrounding this game, one of the biggest questions, at least in Knoxville, however, who's going to start at quarterback for the Vols? If you were Josh Heupel, who are you putting in?
Caroline, first off, it's great to hear your voice after Jared did not allow you to ask me a question last week. I was very sad by that, so it's good to hear
contrary
from you.
Contrary to popular belief, I do have a voice.
You do, and it's yeah. a great voice, and it's a smart voice, and that's why I like hearing questions from you. I'm sure you've done a great job today as well. But I will say the sad part about the Tennessee-Florida game tomorrow is that I will have to disagree with you that it's not even a big game. And that's sort of where both programs are right now. It's both a compliment to Florida and Dan Mullen, you know, who probably should have beat Alabama a week ago, which surprised me. And it's just the reality of where Tennessee is right now under Josh Heupel. This was, when I was growing up, the game in the SEC mm-hmm. in the 90s. I mean, not just in the East. It was the game when the East was dominant over the West. This was the game to decide the SEC title. Hasn't been that way in a while. Mm-hmm. And really, you're right that, you know, all the intrigue around Tennessee is at quarterback, because it's not like you've got a fifth-year senior that's done after this year that may be an option. The decision between Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker will have lasting ramifications for the program. Not just this year, which is not going to be a very pretty year, but moving forward, Tennessee should be better a year from now, should get better the year after that. These guys are eligible for, you know, 3 years when you look at their eligibility after transfer. I think Hooker may be 2 years. I know Milton has 3 years mm-hmm. of eligibility left. So it's a big decision for Heupel. And I think you look at both players, Hooker gives Tennessee a better chance in the swamp, because he's a better runner than Milton. I think Milton gives Tennessee a better chance in the swamp because he's better at going fast with tempo in that offense than Hooker. So I don't think either guy can win this game for Tennessee, but the right call at quarterback mixed with the right amount of good play for them could give Tennessee a chance and keep them hanging around in the second half. But I don't know that I see it happening with this game. And it looks like, and I'm guessing it's probably going to be Hendon Hooker tomorrow night.
And I've kind of said the same thing, is that it doesn't feel like this is going to be a dub that the Vols are going to be able to pull out this weekend. They're just outmatched on every side of the ball. So, I mean, I guess you can kind of look at it in a way of, can there be any possible moral victories that the Vols can pull out this weekend? Don't necessarily believe in a moral victory, but what do you think the Vols can do this weekend that can give you at least a shred of optimism for this team moving forward?
I think moral victories probably, you know, let's put it this way. The term moral victory probably goes out the window in high school. But what you're saying is, can Tennessee take positives away and feel good about themselves in a loss to Florida? And I think the answer to that is absolutely, mm-hmm. based on how they look and how they play in this game. And here's one big factor that I'm going to be watching. Tennessee's been great against the run this year. They've got a veteran defensive line. They had a lot of guys opt in for that super senior year. They rotate a lot of dudes. They're averaging, I think, giving up 1.8 yards a carry so far this year. Now, granted, you know, that's come against one legitimate team in Pittsburgh that does not have a great running back. They're going to be tested, obviously. This is a Florida team that averaged 7 yards a carry against Alabama last week. If Tennessee can hold Florida down better than Bama did in the run game, especially now that the better runner of the two in Anthony Richardson, between him and Emory Jones mm-hmm. at Florida, is going to play in this game,
I think that's
going to bode well.
How crazy does that sound to say, well, if Tennessee can stop the run better than Alabama can? Because I hear you. Tennessee's had a great run defense so far this season, but what kind of rush have they faced?
Exactly. And that's why I don't think that they can. But, you know, maybe it was just a really bad game for Alabama, too. Maybe they were expecting something different, which I don't know why you would, based on Emory Jones and his lack of great passing statistics coming into that game. But either way, Florida, I was very impressed with their offensive line and the way they moved Alabama up front and the way they opened up running lanes. That does not bode well for Tennessee. But if I'm looking in the quote unquote moral victory, positivity after a loss department, it would be if Tennessee's defense and run defense shows up again against Florida and keeps this thing closer than people think and closer than Vegas thinks. I mean, I don't know how Tennessee fans wouldn't be thrilled with that outcome. If Hendon Hooker or Joe Milton plays a really good game in a tough environment in Gainesville, again, I don't know how you don't feel really good about things moving forward, especially a week from now where the games start to get really pressure-packed because they're winnable. Now they go to Missouri, that's a winnable game. They're going to get South Carolina, winnable game. Kentucky, those games are the ones that Tennessee needs to be focused in on those games because I don't think they have a chance against Florida to win, but they're going to have chances moving forward. So they need to figure out what they're made of.
Jabari Small out against Tennessee Tech, and we've seen from Tennessee they can't get it done in the air. If Joe Milton cannot find a wide receiver to save his life, they can get it done on the ground. So if the Vols do get Jabari Small back for the game this weekend, how much of kind of an oomph will that add for the run game in the Swamp?
And have they been saving D. Beckwith, this 6'5", 250-pound running back for Florida? Because
this Derrick Henry Jr., it looks like?
Yeah, it looks like it, but I guess isn't because he can't get a carry for whatever reason. Tennessee's got, I think, two good running backs in Small and Evans. They do not have depth. And I think the last couple weeks without Small and 2 weeks ago without Small and Evans shows that. Jalen Wright may end up being a good player. He's a true freshman. He's light. He's not getting it done running it. They need to develop someone else in that rotation. But if Small and Evans are both healthy, they're pretty good at running back. They're not special, but they're pretty good. They need Jabari Small to play and play well in this game. I know he's battling a shoulder injury, but I just don't see if Tennessee's going to get anything done with their running backs. And I'm not talking about in the running game because the biggest part of their running game is going to be with Hooker or Milton. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to get anything done with their running backs, they need a healthy rotation of Small and Evans to do that because – from what I've seen, they're not going to get it done this year with Jalen Wright and the guys behind those two. Mm-hmm.
Another guy coming back from injury, we can probably expect to see Cooper Mays back at center, out with an ankle injury since week one. What does having him back in the rotation on offensive line mean for the Vols?
I think that's bigger than Jabari Small, honestly, and for this reason. When Cooper Mays goes down, they get worse at two positions. Jerome Carvin is much better at guard. Mm-hmm. They move Jerome Carvin to center. He had some holds against Pitt. He's had a false start, you know, a false snap. It really hurts Tennessee at two spots because then at guard, they had Ollie Lane, I think, come in, who's not an especially talented player. When Cooper Mays is in the lineup, and if Cade Mays, I know he's a little bit banged up, if he can be healthy, and then you can move Carvin back out to guard, I think Tennessee's offensive line is pretty good. I don't think they're great, but I think they're pretty good with that rotation. But they really need a healthy Cooper Mays. If he's back and healthy, I'm a little bit skeptical because it's a high ankle sprain he's battling back from. But if he's back and healthy, I think that's a huge boost for Tennessee offensively, maybe even more so than the return of Jabari Small.
Last Vol-related question for you, Chad. I need to get your thoughts on this. Tennessee canceling the game with Army in 2022, dishing out $500,000 to Army rescheduling with Akron. Now, is that a smart move or is that a weak move? Because in my opinion, I just think that is so weak on Tennessee's part.
Caroline, it's both. It is very, very weak. And there's no way around not looking weak by doing that. It's also very, very smart for this reason, and I am on record. I would never, if I'm a Power 5 school, schedule a service academy. I'm not playing Air Force. I'm not playing Navy. I'm not playing Army. And that's not because I don't love what all of them do for our country. I've got a cousin right now, a shout-out to David Withrow, who is a second-year student at West Point. Love what they do for our country. Love those service academy kids. Would never schedule them in a game. Because when you go up against the triple option, you are doomed to fail at some point. And when you're playing Army the week before you play Florida in a year where maybe Tennessee could be a little bit closer to Florida, I do not want a bunch of 260-pound linemen cutting the knees out from my defensive players on cut blocks in a triple option attack. Dave Hart never should have scheduled that game. His predecessors, John Curry, Philip Fulmer and Mike White all knew that he should not have scheduled that game. No coach. After the coach then wanted to play Army. For that reason, I think they did the right thing for their program in getting out of it. And look, I mean, it's going to cost them $100,000. I know they were going to pay Army $1.4 million. They paid them $500,000 to go away, and they're paying Akron $1 million. So it's a net loss of $100,000. Not a huge deal.
Which is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's also, you know, for Army, I guess it's kind of a good deal. They get paid $500K to do nothing. Now they get to go schedule another game, and if someone will play them that needs a game, they could travel somewhere else that week and make more money. So
Bishop Sycamore, perhaps.
At Bishop Sycamore, they're looking to schedule.
They're looking for opponents.
They need a home. First off, they need a home field, and then they need home games. They can't play at that library that the Google address takes you to, so they need a home field. And then once they can get games, maybe they'll play Army. But again, it is both smart and weak of Tennessee to do this.
It just head in my hand type of moment. Like, this is such a Vols move, but I do understand your point, and that going into that game, it did kind of feel like you are doomed to fail. And whenever you were trying to build your program up, that could be the smart move. But I mean, I just thought, come on, Vols, what are we doing?
But again, there's also a reason, and I'll go to your team, LSU. There's a reason LSU doesn't play Navy or Army, because it's smart, because you don't want to play Navy. I'm telling you.
Don't put yourself in that position.
I remember watching Tennessee against Air Force in 2006, and Tennessee won in double overtime. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching that game, and I am tortured, because it's just a lose-lose. You're playing the nation's finest people, human beings, and you're rooting against them, and they are so disciplined and so fundamentally sound. There's no way athletically they should have played with that 06 Tennessee team, and they can do nothing to stop the triple option. It is torture to watch. I vowed that day I never want a team that I root for to schedule one of the service academies.
Well, I'm hoping that Akron may be a much easier opponent for the Vols. But coming up next, we'll switch to a different team in Tennessee. Kind of want to get Chad's thoughts on the Titans hosting the Colts this weekend. We'll take a look at the NFL as a whole. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a Tennessee thought for Chad, we'll switch gears to Titans coming up next. But before we do that, I will remind you that you can join Jared and I this Monday from 2 to 6 live from the Bode Hotel located at 401 2nd Avenue South. Bode is only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium, a great place to meet your friends and tailgate before the game in the courtyard. They offer fire pits, picnic tables, lounge chairs, vintage truck seating, cornhole, and so much more. So stop by, grab some game swag, sign up for your chance to win a pair of tickets. To win a pair of tickets to WWE Raw at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October 4th. Stillman and Company, Caroline Fenton, joined by Outkick 360's Chad Withrow. You're talking Vols going into the Swamp this weekend. But the Titans also have a divisional game this weekend, hosting the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. Chad, we saw week one, the Titans get just embarrassed by the Arizona Cardinals coming into Nissan Stadium week one. Then the Titans on the road at Seattle, getting a win against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. What is this team? Are they week one getting blown out by Kyler Murray? Are they week two being able to get a win on the road and Derrick Henry pummeling everyone and getting in the end zone three times? What is this Tennessee Titans team?
This team is Derrick Henry to me. I mean, that's I'm talking more from a football standpoint, but I think his mentality also, you know, he wants the ball. He wants the team to jump on his back, and he wants to carry them. That's been the identity offensively with this team under Arthur Smith, and now it needs to be the identity moving forward. I mean, I was shocked after the busted coverage and they fall behind 30-16 in the fourth quarter that they came back and won that game. But that's got to be the Titans from here on out. You know, that's what they did in that second half. It's got to be their mentality, but more importantly, it's got to be how they play. So I do think that they're closer to the team we saw in the second half. Probably not quite as good as the team that was down 14 and came back and won in Seattle. But whatever happened against Arizona, I mean, that cannot happen again. I think we all agree with that. But I really think that it all comes down to Derrick Henry. I mean, this is a team that's unlike almost every team in the league, and that they are going to turn around and hand the ball off to a running back like it's 1989. And that is how they are successful. And I think that can be a great thing, because you can be different when you have someone as different as Derrick Henry. And you look at all the stats with him and the amount of carries and the amount of yards versus contemporaries, and then he's just a guy that's out of time. He's out of his own time, and he's almost both a throwback and a look ahead at the league with the way he plays. So, look, I think this is Derrick Henry's team, and you make sure that he gets fed, and when he's fed, I think the Titans are going to do some good things, you know, hopefully starting this Sunday against Indianapolis.
Do you think Derrick Henry can repeat 2,000 yards this season?
Yes, I think he can. And I think that the Titans are going to need to give him the amount. First off, if he's getting carries, usually it means the Titans are successful mm-hmm. in their games. But the Titans need to give him the carries that would necessitate the possibility of 2,000 yards. But, yes, I think that he can get 2,000 yards again. I believe in this guy so much because every type of metric, every precedent we look at running back and look at number of carries and age and everything else and say, running back's going to fall off the cliff at this point in their career, you throw it out the window with Derrick Henry because he had a ton of carries in high school. He had a ton of carries in college. He gets the NFL. He basically sits for 2 years behind DeMarco Murray, and it was like that was his resting up period. And now he's dominant. I mean, I just don't think that you can apply the standard of pass running backs with him because he is so different.
And that's exactly what he was asked at a press conference. You know, did anyone else in high school touch the ball? And his response was, what do you think? Which I think was just so perfect. So Derrick Henry-esque, such a perfect response to that question. But I think you do make a very good point that we've seen in these past two games. If you hold Derrick Henry to single-digit yards, you cannot get it going offensively, and then you turn around and see Seattle. He gets 100 and whatever it was yards and three touchdowns, and this offense just comes alive, a team that I thought was dead at the half. And Derrick Henry was able to ignite this team and get it going again in the second half. But I think that my biggest worry here on offense is that we haven't seen Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry, three of the Titans' biggest offensive threats, all get going at the same time so far this season. What do you think is the key to getting A.J. Brown catches, Julio Jones catches, and Derrick Henry yards on the ground as well?
Well, and Caroline, neither you nor I have ever coached high school football, but I would say that we're smart enough to know that if we have Derrick Henry on our high school football team in some small school classification, we're probably giving him the ball a lot too.
That's probably my philosophy if I take Mike Vrabel's job. If that day ever comes, I'll just say, hey, that big man out there, you go ahead and you just give him the ball.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and make sure that guy gets 45 carries a game, and then we'll be okay in our classification. I think
hand me the Lombardi at this point.
Exactly. Now, on the Titans, I'm with you. A.J. Brown's start is a little bit concerning. I think he'll figure it out. They got to find ways to target him a little bit more. Julio Jones made a huge leap from week one to week two. I thought he looked slow. He looked like a guy who hasn't practiced because he hasn't in week one. Whatever practice reps he got, whatever time he got with Ryan Tannehill worked. I thought he looked a lot better, looked sharp in week two. A.J. Brown with that, I think it was really three pretty clear drops in the game against Seattle. He's got to get better. And I think the Titans, you know, need to do a better job of finding ways to target him. This offense, I've said it before, runs through Derrick Henry. But if you're looking to distribute the football, you're looking at one A.J. Brown, two Julio Jones. And teams are going to try to take that away. I understand that. But you still have to find ways to get those guys the ball. Mykole Pruitt is a great story. It's great when he can have a nice game like that. You're paying A.J. Brown and Julio Jones to throw them the football, not Mykole Pruitt. So they're going to have to find ways to get all of those guys involved. But I think especially starting Sunday against the Colts with A.J. Brown.
Colts come in this Sunday, still a question mark at who's going to start at quarterback. Carson Wentz did practice today. Is it cocky for me to say that I don't really care who starts at quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts? I think this very much so should be and will be a win for the Titans.
I'm with you. I think the Titans get it done this weekend. I will say the Wentz thing is odd and has me having a slightly different feeling about it. The Titans should absolutely win against Jacob Eason or Brett Hundley or whoever mm-hmm. would start if it's not Wentz. Also, the Wentz injury report of ankles is the most old person injury report ever. Like when your
Both of them.
Grandfather says that, you know, I have bad knees, not singular, but knees. Like they can, you know, you can feel a storm coming in your knees. When I saw ankles, I'm thinking, does Carson Wentz, does he feel a thunderstorm coming on in his ankles if both of his ankles are injured at the same time? So look, if he's back and ready to play, good for him. He's a tough guy. That's pretty cool that he's going to come back from that. I still think this is the Titans game to lose on Sunday. They figured some things out in the second half. They need to beat this Colts team. But we were also saying the same thing a year ago when they came to town on Thursday Night Football, and they got smashed pretty good by the Colts in that game. So this is a rivalry that's got some weird things that happen in it. So I'm not resting easily on the Colts right now, but I'm with you, and I think that the Titans show up and play more like that second half in Seattle Titans team, and they find a way to get it done.
And to your point, I think at this point in his career, Carson Wentz can probably feel a storm coming and probably every joint in his body. The guy's hurt and torn and broken just about everything there is to break in your body.
Do you think that he's got like a different sense, like he can sense a hurricane in his shoulder and then like a tropical storm in his knee and then just a rain shower in his ankles, that he feels different storms, different ways in each part of his body?
He just might. I mean, Marvel might write their next great film about him, like this super weatherman.
Yes. What do you think Davis Mills feels in his neck? Can he feel storm? Because I saw your tweet and that picture, and we talked about on our show today too. That not only is one of the longest necks I've seen, I'd love to see video of what he does to work out that neck, because it's both long and wide and strong looking.
It's wider than his skull.
Yes.
It's like it comes out at an angle. I don't know how it is humanly possible, and I don't know what kind of added advantage that gives Davis Mills, but it is the thickest neck that I have ever seen. And when I saw David Culley just grab him by the neck, I thought, oh, that's going to take two full hands to wrap it all the way around his neck. I mean, absolutely astonishing.
You know the viral videos of Derrick Henry working out? We need viral videos of Davis Mills working out that neck. We need whatever neck rolls he's doing. If he's putting, you know, 100-pound weights around something, around a towel and lifting them up, whatever he does for that neck, we need to find out.
Let the band play neck, and I will leave it at that. Outkick360's Chad Withrow joining us. Chad, we appreciate you. We will see you next Friday.
Yep, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Coming up next, we will make our picks for the weekend. We've got Carolines and then six-pack picks. You are listening to Stillman & Company, and we are live on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball, hot day Friday. Glad to see me.
I am happy. I missed you. Missed you the past hour. Happy to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. You know.
Happy you had a nice little break.
Just and so happy. So, so, so happy to be here on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. So I heard you and Robbie and Chad talking about the Vols. And I was listening earlier today, just driving around, and I was listening to us. And I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road. And I was listening. How big is this Vols Florida game? And I don't mean this in like a mean way. Like the Vols Florida, we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday. Vols Florida was like the game when I was a kid. And both teams were national contenders, and Alabama was awful at the time. Mm-hmm. And the West kind of had a revolving door. Saban at LSU was pretty good. And I want to say Arkansas was good one of those years, Houston Nutt. But Ole Miss was, Mississippi State wasn't good. And like, yeah, the West was whatever. The East, you know, Florida and Tennessee and Georgia. And like that was.
Oh, how the tables have turned.
It is for the last decade plus. So I do wonder this. How big of a game is this? Because it's been talked about a lot on the radio. Not just, I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but listening to other people talk about it. And I'm not saying that, you know, we do what everybody else does, but I also don't think that, you know, we're the smartest people in the world, bar none. So we can't, you know, whatever. So how big of a game is this?
So from the Florida perspective, you can say that this is a big game because a win just pushes you that higher up in the SEC East standings, and it gets you that much closer to an SEC championship visit. I think that's how Florida fans can look at it. All right, let's get past this one, and then we're going to keep on rolling. We're going to recover from a loss against Bama. We played great against Bama. We're going to keep moving forward and see if we can come back and maybe rematch in the SEC championship. If I'm a Florida fan, that's how I look at it. If I'm a Tennessee fan, I look at it as this is the biggest test that Tennessee has had on every side of the ball. They've never seen such a run-heavy offense so far this season. They haven't seen such a staunch defense so far this season. This is really Tennessee's biggest test so far. Yeah, we learned a little bit during the Pitt game, but when it comes to the SEC, when it comes to teams' rivalry games, this is the biggest test that Tennessee has seen so far. So I think as Tennessee fans, I don't know how high your expectations can necessarily be, but I think as a Tennessee fan, you can say, okay, how big is the gap between Tennessee and the teams that are competing for the SEC East, the teams that are in the national conversation? How can we hold up against this run-heavy Florida offense? How much can we reuse our offense that has designed to be such a pass-heavy powerhouse? Can we start to execute that a little bit? So I think that as a Tennessee fan, you can't necessarily watch for a win. You know, you can hope to cover. You can hope to not necessarily get blown out by Florida, but I think you need to look at this game as a way to say, okay, where are we? What is our benchmark in terms of the SEC East?
Which quarterback do you play?
I think you have to play Hendon Hooker.
Thank you. Oh, thank God.
I think you have to play Hendon Hooker for a few reasons. If Joe Milton is not 100% healthy, then Joe Milton being out there, I don't think is the difference between a Tennessee win and a Tennessee loss. So you're not going to bang him up even more going into the rest of the season. Also, I kind of like what I saw from Hendon Hooker against Tennessee Tech. And of course, that's Tennessee Tech. And that's going to be an incredibly easier task than playing the University of Florida. But I liked what I saw against Hendon Hooker. And I would like to see a little bit more of a sample size from him.
You know, I can't comment on what you saw from Hendon Hooker in the Tennessee Tech game.
Yeah, since you would rather just sit in silence than watch the Tennessee Tech-Tennessee game.
First of all, meditation has its benefits.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, you're the only person I know. I take that back. I know somebody else. But you are one of the only people I know. And the other person I know, I only know because I know you, that watched the Tennessee Tech game. Actually invited me to watch the Tennessee Tech game with him. So I was very, very excited about that. But, I mean, I thought Hendon Hooker looked pretty decent in the Pittsburgh game. And I would go with Hooker because Joe Milton is what he is. He can run with the ball, and he can chuck it downfield about 85 yards. And he has demonstrated to me that he can't connect with anybody 85 yards down the field. He can throw it 85 yards down the field, but he can't throw it to anybody 85 yards down the field. So to me, not to be, you know, the big bad guy around here, but to me, I just kind of feel like, fine, you know, go with the guy, Hooker, that's been here longer and also, you know, has more accuracy. Would you say that that's a fair thing to say about Hendon Hooker, that he is by far the more accurate quarterback?
I mean, I don't know how you find a less accurate quarterback than Joe Milton. Because I mean, it honestly is kind of a shame because he has a heck of an arm. If he can just get it in a receiver's hands, Tennessee could have the potential to be really good and put up big time points. But that's a really big if. He can't put it in a receiver's hands. So I think you make a good point in that we've seen what Joe Milton can do. We've seen who he is. He has a great arm. He has no accuracy. Tennessee has to rely on the run game whenever Joe Milton's at quarterback. And I think you at least have to try something different.
So the other thing I thought about is the 2:30 CBS game, and I know we're going to pick this one too. The 2:30 CBS game tomorrow, Texas A&M at Arkansas. If Arkansas wins, they're going to celebrate Sam Pittman like he is the greatest coach in the history of Arkansas and the greatest coach in the history of the SEC West. And I have two thoughts on that. First of all, I am not going to be the person that says that Sam Pittman isn't the greatest coach in Arkansas history. Who was it? Broyles? He's the best, you know, won a national title in like the 50s. But I'm not going to say that he's not a great coach if he wins this game, because 2 years ago, Arkansas was an embarrassment and they were coming off of a 2-win season. And I remember SEC Media Days being like, this team is worse than Vanderbilt. And now they're a top 20 team. They're playing on CBS against A&M with a chance to get a big game. And if they do, you got to give Sam Pittman his due. Think about this. He entered in 2020, so his first year was the COVID year where everybody complained and moaned and groaned about, oh, my God, can you believe this or can you believe that? No. Like, he did it, and I got to give him credit for that. The second thing is I would tell Sam Pittman, if you win, whatever you do, whatever it is you do with your life after this, stay at Arkansas. Because every big job will now circle Sam Pittman for that job if they win this game. He'll be the talk of the country. And what I've learned is when you're that hot coach, stay. When you're the hot coach, unless the NFL calls, stay. Just stay. Because the second you leave, you'll get as much money in Arkansas as you get anywhere else. But the second you leave, there are big expectations. Ask Tom Herman what that's like. Ask Charlie Strong what that's like. Ask all those guys that if they love you and you're at a Power Five, just stay and get your money. And even if Arkansas goes back in the toilet for a little bit, the fans will still remember, hey, remember when we beat A&M that day on CBS? So that would be my advice to him. Time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention game, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. We've got a game tonight, Liberty-Syracuse at Syracuse, kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight. Give me Liberty against the spread. Liberty minus 6.5. So Malik Willis, Liberty starting quarterback, I think is one of the, if not the most underrated quarterbacks in college football. He is unreal. Last season, he led the team in passing yards and rushing yards. He is a threat on the ground. He's a threat in the air. He followed Hugh Freeze to Liberty. Was originally at Auburn, transferred to Liberty, and has absolutely lit it up at Liberty. I don't think there's really anything too special about Syracuse. So I think that Liberty wins by at least a touchdown, if not more. So we need Liberty against the spread, -6.5. And I believe that's at -112.
I was stunned that this was the game that you picked of the games to pick. I'll take Liberty, too. Syracuse is awful. I know they're 2-1, but forget about Syracuse. Liberty's a good school, well-coached by Hugh Freeze. I'll take Liberty. Mm-hmm.
We've also got Notre Dame, Wisconsin tomorrow. That game being played in Chicago. It should be a fun one. But I'm going to take Wisconsin on the money lines. Notre Dame is 3-0 so far in the season. Wisconsin 2-1. But Notre Dame's first two wins weren't necessarily pretty. I don't think the record necessarily indicates how good of a program they actually are. 3-point win over Florida State, who is down this year. Toledo just barely squeaked by with a win, the 3-point win. Now, Wisconsin, on the other side, has yet to throw a passing touchdown so far this season. But they have put up 438 yards of offense in their first two games and only been matched by 194.5-ish by their opponents. So they've put up a ton of offense and stopped their opponents from putting up a ton of offense on defense. So their only loss was to a 16-10 loss to Penn State, a team that's now ranked 8th in the country, a team that's looked outstanding so far. So I do think that even though Wisconsin has the worst record so far in the season, I think they're a better team. Also, fun fact, Notre Dame's quarterback, Jack Cohen, transferred from Wisconsin. So I wonder, I don't know what the over-under on the mentions of that tonight or tomorrow on the game will be, but nice little fun fact there. But I'm going to take Wisconsin this one.
I'm going to take Notre Dame +6.5. The game's in Chicago. That's a home game for Notre Dame. Then again, everybody travels to Notre Dame, so I guess that's – I'm going to take Notre Dame +6.5. I get the points here. I like it. I'll take Notre Dame.
We also, like you mentioned, the 2:30 SEC CBS primetime game, Texas A&M, Arkansas. I am going to take Texas A&M, but the money line is -220. Not great value there. The spread is 4.5, which I think could be kind of tricky because I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M just barely squeaks by like a field goal. But the value is just so much better. Texas A&M -4.5, -110. And I do think that Texas A&M is going to want to make a statement win against Arkansas, especially an SEC West rivalry there. And I do think that Texas A&M has a lot to prove. So I'm going to go ahead and take Texas A&M against the spread. And, you know, I know that we're singing Sam Pittman's praises, but would we be doing that if he was coaching at any other school than Arkansas? You match up Jimbo Fisher and Sam Pittman, I take Jimbo Fisher every day.
I'm riding Sam Pittman's train. Give me the Razorbacks. Pig, Suey, Razorback. I'll take Arkansas in this one plus the points. Go ahead and give me that one. We got to get the Vols game in here. We got to sneak that one in there.
Vols, Florida. The line has shifted. It was 21.5. Now it's Florida minus 18.5. I'm going to take the Vols plus 18.5. I think that's
Homer.
Widespread. What? I'm not a homer. I'm not a Tennessee fan. But I just think that's a widespread, and I feel like I feel like it's a little bit dramatic of a line. And I mean, the Vols could absolutely get clobbered. I'm not counting that out as a possibility. But I do think that the Vols at least close in. I mean, if they lose by 2 touchdowns, like, that's kind of a pretty statement loss. I'm going to take Vols plus 18.5.
Okay. Can I make one pick if Joe Milton plays and one pick if Hendon Hooker plays?
No, that's not allowed.
Okay. I'll lay the 18.5 with Florida. I just think they'll just run. I'm so torn, but yeah, run.
They will run all day.
And I just think Tennessee doesn't have the firepower to match it. Tell us about BetUS.
Carolines is brought to you by BetUS. It's my favorite sports book, and it's also been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention game, and you can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
Coming up next, six-pack picks. Ian will let us know how we did. We'll get to that coming up next. Fireball Hot Take Friday here on Stillman and Company, which I'm very, very excited about. Hey, be sure to join us for the pregame show. That's right. We'll be live at the Rock Bottom Brewery downtown this Sunday. The pregame show features Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, and yours truly. 9:30 to 11:30 at Rock Bottom downtown on Broadway. The pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Stillman & Company, CSP at 1025 The Game. All right, Stillman & Company, it's time now for six-pack picks. Ian, how did we do it? Six-pack picks brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. You all love Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. They did take great care of everybody. Ian, how did we do last week?
Last week, it was a reversal from the week before. Jared went 2-4. Oh. Caroline went 4-2.
Oh.
Jared missed the Rams, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Kansas City. Got Buffalo and the Titans. Caroline missed the Rams and Kansas City, but got Buffalo, the Raiders, Dallas, and the Titans. So now our season records are now even at 6-6.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay, we will start noon. CBS, Chargers at the Chiefs. Over under on this game, 54.5. Kansas City, -7. Caroline, who goes first this week?
I'll let Jared go first since he's the underdog after last week.
Chiefs, I think the Chargers, man, I'm disappointed. I thought the Chargers should have just blown the doors off the Cowboys. They didn't. I was disappointed. I think the Chiefs are going to be furious with how they screwed the game away against Baltimore last week. I'll take the Chiefs.
I'm going to take the Chiefs -7 also. I just think, I mean, I'm not low on the Chargers by any means this year, but I am with Jared in the fact that they are probably pissed after that loss against Baltimore last week. So I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Okay, continuing on CBS, Dolphins at the Raiders, 305. Over-under on this game is 44. Vegas, -3.5.
Ooh, this is a good one. I am going to take the Raiders -3.5. I mean, they have been on a roll so far this season, and I don't think that the Dolphins necessarily present a big enough threat to the Raiders, so I'm going to go ahead and take them against the spread.
I'm going to have to take the Raiders. You know, Tua's out with the rib injury. I just, when I look at the Dolphins, and I know they won some games last year, but, like, I just don't love, like, I just know that they're very good. Like, I look at their team, and I'm like, this is a team that if you played kind of like all the Dolphin teams have been for like the last decade, where like if you go and play the Dolphins and you play like crap, you'll lose. But the Dolphins have never been a threat to do anything in the playoffs. They're barely even a threat to make the playoffs. I think this Dolphin team is just like those Dolphin teams. And no Tua, no thank you. Give me the Raiders. I think that was pretty simple.
Especially without Tua.
Okay, moving on to the NFC. The Bucks at the Rams. This should be a fun game.
Ooh.
325, Fox. Over under on this game is 55.5. Tampa Bay -1.
I will take the Buccaneers. I'm just not that impressed with the Rams. The Rams are going to have to run the football, because what they're going to do is Tampa Bay is going to unleash those pass rushers all over Matthew Stafford. And I think ultimately the balance that the Bucs have on offense is better than the balance the Rams have. I think Brady's going to get the ball out quick. He's going to stay away from Jalen Ramsey. I'd expect a big game from Gronk. I'd expect a big game from Scotty Miller, who will be in there for AB. I think the Buccaneers get it done.
I'm also going to take the Buccaneers -1, and I think I'm also going to take the over on this game. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a pretty close scoring and also very high scoring. I wouldn't be surprised to see like a 38-35 Bucks win here. So I'm going to take the over as well.
Okay, Sunday Night Football. The Packers going to San Francisco, taking on the 49ers, 720 NBC. Over-under on this game is 50 even. San Francisco -3.
I'm going to take the Packers +3. I think that this may be motivated by being absolutely blown out against the Saints and not having a totally convincing win against the Lions. Like, yeah, they beat the Lions by a few touchdowns, but I mean, it wasn't anything that I saw that I thought, oh wow, the Packers are back. You know, week one was just a flub. But I do think that this is going to be kind of put up or shut up for the Packers, and I think that they know that. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to let that team stomp all over him. So I'm going to take the Packers. We're the +3.
That's correct.
+3.
I'll take San Francisco. I think Rodgers is tearing that thing apart. Cross-country flight, they've been brutal at San Francisco over the last couple of years. I don't love San Francisco, but I have no idea if the Packers are any good. So go ahead in San Francisco and give me the 49ers.
This week's Monday Night Football game, 7:15 ESPN, Philadelphia Eagles going to Dallas to take on the Cowboys in Jerry World. Over-under on this game, 51.5. Dallas, -3.5.
I'll take Philadelphia. I've been telling people with the FanDuel Sportsbook app, you know, the reads that I've been doing this week, that I would take Philadelphia. Dallas has impressed me through 2 weeks. I mean, I spent all offseason crapping on Dallas, and Dallas doesn't look to be that bad. I think I'm going to take Philadelphia. I just don't trust Mike McCarthy. And I just don't trust that defense, and I'm getting 3 points here. Go ahead and give me the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to take Dallas on this one. I mean, I was pretty low on Dallas coming into this season. I thought no way Dak Prescott couldn't come back and be what he was pre-injury, especially coming in with another injury. But that team and Dak have very much so proved me wrong, so give me Dallas on this one.
All right, and that brings us to our last game here. Indianapolis Colts coming to town to take on the Titans. Noon, CBS. Wentz looks to be a game-time decision. Got in a limited practice today. Over, under, 48. Titans right now, -5.5.
I'm going to take... See, I don't know. 5.5 is tough, but I'm for Titans to win. 100% Titans to win. I'm just going to go ahead and take the Titans against the spread, -5.5. I think the Colts coming in here with so many questions at quarterback. Carson Wentz did practice today, but will he be 100%? Probably not. They're going to rely heavily on the run. The Titans know that. Titans have more threats on offense than the Colts do coming into Nashville. So, yeah, give me the Titans -5.5.
I'm going to go Titans 19, Indy 14. So I'm actually right there at the 5. So I'm going to take Indy plus the 5.5 here. But I'm going to go Titans 19-14. I think it's a low-scoring game. I think this is going to be an ugly game on Sunday. I hope it's not. I hope the Titans blow them out. I think it's going to be an ugly game on Sunday. But again, Titans 19, Indy 14, so I'll take Indy. plus the 5.5. That's going to do it for us. Again, Six Pack Picks presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We are out of here. We will be back Monday at 2 for a reaction Monday. The pregame show starts 9:30 on Sunday. Moneyline comes up next. We'll see you.